The best way to learn Facebook ads. This is the Early Days Podcast.
Yo.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Early Days Podcast. Ooh, that almost scared me. This is the show about the hustle, the excitement, the grind, the ups and downs of business, of building a business from scratch. We're recording this very late, so we are a little bit tired and I'm mixing our words after talking for 2 hours the recording podcast. But let's talk about this episode. It's a very nice one. It's with Mojca Jove from Slovenia. She's a Facebook expert. I know her for a little over a year now, or I was familiar with her for a little over a year now by because she was sharing her advice about Facebook ads. I got exposed to her knowledge when we were in our process of setting up our very first Facebook ads and Facebook funnels. So the interviews she made and things that I checked out were very valuable. So it was a great pleasure to have her on the show. She runs her own agency called Super Spicy Media. Great name, by the way, right?
Yeah, cool name. Very cool name. Sounds well together. Yeah. Super Spicy.
Super Spicy. We had a super spicy interview with Mojca. We talked about Facebook ads naturally, but also about her transition to teaching a course more than doing the day-to-day work of managing the ads. Also about burnout and some other interesting things about balancing life as an entrepreneur. All of this, make sure you listen in the episode. All the resources and tools that were mentioned in there will be in the show notes, so check them out. Down there in the description, there should be a link to that. Also, make sure you subscribe, share this podcast with people you think might find value in it.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Nothing to add.
Just smile and enjoy this episode. Thank you for watching and listening.
First of all, thank you for having me. I'm coming to you from Slovenia, Central Europe, beautiful place. If you haven't been, you definitely have to visit and you definitely need to tell me if you visit. but all in all, I'm a Facebook advertising expert. I have been running my agency called Super Spicy Media for a couple of years now. I think it's rounding up to 5-6 years this year. But I actually started running Super Spicy Media after getting fired from my previous job at an advertising agency. And I just didn't want to work for anyone anymore and decided to go on my own. What I'm most kind of famous of, like Facebook ads, definitely. But on the other hand, we have my dinosaur onesie, which is something that I really love wearing. I am fascinated by dinosaurs. And I just post a lot of pictures of my onesie on the internet.
Or just, is it a one-off thing?
I'm sorry?
Is it a product that you make or is it a one-off that you...
No, it's just something that people know me by. It's like the girl who's an expert at Facebook ads and also loves wearing her dinosaur onesie. That's pretty much it. There's a
dinosaur behind you, I think.
Yes, there is a dinosaur behind me. Yeah, and there's another one right there. So it's just, and I have books about dinosaurs. It's something that, I don't know, it fascinates me.
Nice. If it's not a secret, what happened in the agency before that?
Definitely not a secret. So, the agency that I was previously working at, they were a traditional marketing agency and they did newspaper ads and TV ads and radio ads. And I was a copywriter there, but since it was quite a small agency, it was like on paper, I was a copywriter, but I did pretty much everything else as well. And then, you know, as time moved by, Facebook started developing their own like business tools and Facebook pages were just, you know, it was something completely new. People really wanted to use them. Facebook advertising, I think, was just starting then and you could like promote your page. And I was really enjoying that. I was doing it myself a little bit, just playing around with it. And our clients, so the clients of that advertising agency, they also wanted to kind of put their feet in a little bit and just, you know, start experimenting with Facebook ads. But the agency that I worked for, they really didn't want to do anything with Facebook or social media. They really wanted to stick to the traditional advertising and doing radio ads, for example, not really digital. So I pushed for Facebook more and more because I really saw the potential and I was basically blown off saying, you know what, Facebook is going to, you know, and it's not going to be around in a couple of years.
Sorry for interrupting. What year was that?
Oh, I think that was 2012, maybe 2011. I cannot remember exactly. But I mean, as we all know, Facebook is, you know, is just growing and their advertising ecosystem is getting better and better. So because of those differences that we had at the advertising agency, we just kind of decided, I mean, they decided to fire me. So it wasn't a mutual decision. They made that decision. And that was kind of it. That was the end of it. It was just because we had our differences and they didn't want to listen.
Have you considered before that or while you were still employed at the agency to start working on your own, or if you have side projects that were kind of firing you up to eventually make the jump?
Actually, I was thinking about it and I never took that leap because I was too scared. I had it in the back of my mind. I always wanted to kind of own my own business, but I didn't necessarily know in which direction to go and I didn't know how to start. So when I got fired, I decided, you know what, this is like a kick in the butt that I absolutely needed. And if I ever wanted to, you know, start running my own business, this is the moment to do it. So I just took that opportunity and kind of turned it into a positive thing. So I wasn't really bummed about the fact that I got fired, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to make this into a positive thing. And I did that.
Right. Yeah. What was the biggest fear, I'm curious, before you started that stopped you before that jump?
How to get clients. That was like, I didn't even know where to begin. Mm. I was 22 years old, I think. And I didn't know, like, how will I even get clients? And what happens if a client actually lets me go and I'm without clients? So I was just so scared at, I think what, you know, the previous mindset that I was in was the job at the advertising agency was kind of secure in my opinion. So once you were employed, like you don't really think about that, you know, people could fire you. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'm employed. This is safe. This is secure. But it actually wasn't because I got fired overnight, literally. So then that fear was practically gone. I started thinking about like, even having a steady job is not as secure as many people think. So why not create your own business? So my fear was kind of gone with that.
And did you do Facebook ads at the agency or did you have to teach yourself after you left the agency?
Yeah, we didn't do Facebook ads. What we started playing with were just like Facebook pages and creating content for Facebook pages, but not necessarily Facebook ads because they didn't want to do that. So when I established and opened Super Spicy Media, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to start learning Facebook ads. What I did, I mean, when I started Super Spicy Media, it was like a digital agency that actually social media agency that took care of your social media presence. So that included Facebook page, Instagram profiles, Pinterest, Twitter as well. And then Facebook advertising as well. I played around it. I played around with Facebook ads a little bit. But then as I moved forward, I learned more and more about it. And I'm pretty much self-taught. Absolutely. Like everything that I know is completely self-taught. I didn't go to school. We didn't, you know, with the advertising agency, we didn't do anything Facebook advertising related. So I had to pretty much learn everything from scratch.
What were some of the resources that helped you to start and like give you the foundation which to build up after that with practice?
I think the number one resource was just Facebook. So they had, I mean, they changed this constantly, but they had this newsroom and they had a lot of resources and they updated constantly their Facebook advertising manager. And I learned a lot from their updates. Anytime they released a new update, I could read about, you know, what they are updating, how it works technically in the background, what's happening in the background. So I learned a lot from Facebook. And then the other resource that I really, like I still really love is John Loomer, johnloomer.com actually. And he talks like his knowledge about Facebook advertising is really technical. And that's what I love about it. I didn't want to talk about like I mean, strategies are one thing and I really love strategies, but I also wanted to have the technical knowledge needed. I wanted to know how lookalike audiences are created technically, how that works in the background. So John Loomer actually provided me with that knowledge and those were kind of my go-to resources. But on top of those resources, naturally, I think practice is the one thing that you know, really made that difference from just learning something in theory and then putting it in practice and actually learning from your results. So I think, you know, just practicing and running your own experiments, advertising your own business, just trying out different things, that's where the actual knowledge is.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, because we had one in product development. So before we hit market, we kind of started preparing ourselves for marketing the product. And we listened to maybe like podcasts, blogs about Facebook ads for months. And then I think just over the weekend by spending like $15 or whatever it was, I think we learned more than, you know, months of just reading. Because one thing is reading about it, but if you don't practice it, like the context is missing. So practice is really the most important thing.
Yeah, plus
absolutely
changes so quickly that what you hear of something from 2 months ago, it's maybe you don't find it in the interface yet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. And that's what I constantly tell other Facebook or people that run like solo agencies or small agencies, and they ask me, you know, what's the best way to learn about Facebook ads and, you know, how to launch successful Facebook advertising campaigns? It's just practice. Like, you can read about it all day long, but once you get down to actually implementing your own campaign, it's totally different. And, you know, you get that kind of knowledge that you need from actually launching something and then observing the results and learning from your results. That's something that, you know, reading the theory about Facebook ads cannot give you.
Yeah. That said, though, there are some steps that you should make, I think, when you're starting, especially online business, let's say, or e-commerce in particular, and you need to have some basics probably. We talked in the beginning a little bit about the funnels, mentioned that, but can you maybe say what are some of the must-haves when you're starting out to have in place so that you don't just start with one particular type? So to make, let's say, which are the biggest pitfalls or mistakes that starters make?
Oh, so the really big mistake that a lot of people do is they don't implement their Facebook pixel right away, and they wait and they postpone that. So if we're talking about starting out with Facebook ads, right? When you're starting out with Facebook ads, just implement your Facebook pixel to your webpage right away. Like, don't even think about it. Even if you don't plan on launching your campaign tomorrow, just implement that Facebook pixel so you have that data collecting in the background. And that's something that I failed to do as well when I started my own business, because I didn't think about it. I will launch some Facebook ads, you know, in 6 months probably, but I didn't implement the Facebook pixel right away. And when I decided that I want to launch my first campaign, I had to start from absolutely zero. But if you implement that Facebook pixel immediately, you already have that data once you decide to start advertising. So that's pretty much like that. I think that's kind of the biggest mistake that people do.
I'm curious, before we, go on with Facebook, I'm curious, when you started out, how did you approach building, a services list or an offer? And how did you approach getting clients?
Oh, that's a really good question, because I experimented with that a lot. I think experimentation, not only when it comes to Facebook ads, but just businesses in general, is incredibly important. And what I did was, like I said, I didn't know how to get clients. It was just, you know, it was this big black hole that I just needed to kind of throw myself into to learn more about, because like, I could read all about it online, but again, when it comes to practice, it's just entirely different. So I didn't know how to do it. And what I started doing is, like I said, I was working on social media strategies in general at the beginning. And what I did was I went on Facebook and I actually observed the Facebook pages that were advertising. And when I got like a sponsored ad or something like that, I actually checked their Facebook page. And if they had good content, I didn't necessarily contact them right away. But if I noticed that, okay, their content is not really good, they had very little engagement, nothing is happening on their Facebook page, very sporadic updates, that's when I decided to contact them. So what I did at the beginning was I created a list of 100 or 150 companies. And I had their contacts and I just cold emailed them. And I experimented a lot with that, because I didn't know how to approach getting clients. Like, do you write a short email or a long email? Do you send your offer right away or do you wait a little bit? So I experimented with different approaches. I didn't know, like, if I include my picture, will people say, okay, she's too young? Or on the other hand, maybe they'll kind of personally connect with me. So what I decided at the end, after my experimentation, I actually decided that what a lot of people appreciated and prospects appreciated was that I gave them just like a little bit of advice before we even start talking about a collaboration. So it didn't take me a lot to write that down, but it was just like, I don't know, three bullet points, like this is what you should do next. And then I basically did, I basically kind of pitched them a call, like we can jump on the phone and talk about a possible collaboration. And that's kind of the email that really worked well with my prospects. So out of those 100 and 150 companies, I didn't get a lot of replies back to my email. So I only get, I only got five replies. And I think from those five replies, two of them were no's and then three of them were yeses, somewhere around that. And I actually got my first clients like that. And that, I think it's like that kicked off everything, but without those cold emails and without that effort that I had to input at the beginning, none of, you know, the super spicy media that like it is today, none of that would happen.
Where does the name come from, by the way?
Oh, interesting story. So I was trying, like, I always wanted to have a nice and like a fun company name, right? I didn't want it to be really strict and very corporate. I wanted it to kind of talk a little bit about my personality, and I'm energetic. So what I really wanted the word media in there and the word spicy. So then it basically came down to searching for available domains. So I was Spicy Media. How could I do this? And Super Spicy Media was available. So I was like, okay, let's be Super Spicy Media. And at, like the feedback that I get today, people just love the name. And the story behind how I actually got to that name is just funny.
And so you mentioned the cold emails, but then you mentioned giving advice. So did you personally write to all those 150, I guess, prospects? So how did you automate or didn't automate that?
I didn't even know what automation was back then. I did everything manually. I was just so uneducated on that front. I think like the automation part came for me really later on, but at the beginning it was just, I had a Google Doc file with the template of that email that I sent out. The intro was personalized based on the company that I talked to, and the advice was personalized, but everything else was pretty much a template. So I copy pasted that copy in the actual email. So I think I just used Gmail at that point. So I copy pasted that, just changed the intro, changed the advice, and that was my automation. So it took I couldn't do that in one day. It took quite a lot of time, but I mean, it got the job done.
Yeah. Did you use Facebook ads to grow your list of clients?
Not at the beginning, because I didn't even know, like, I wasn't really skilled at Facebook ads. I was still learning about it a lot. So at the beginning, it was just cold emails, and I used Twitter a lot. So I built my online persona on Twitter. I spent a lot of time just doing that. And, you know, I had my own strategy, but I didn't use any Facebook ads. A couple of years later, I actually developed a productized service called, I think it was Super Spicy Session, which was basically a teardown of your Facebook page. We jumped on a call. I gave you a teardown and I gave you, you know, this is how to continue. And that's the first service that I used Facebook ads to kind of promote my business for. And it worked incredibly great. I think the Super Spicy Sessions, I don't know how they were priced at the beginning. I think they were about $200. And after, I think it was like after $50 spent, I got my first sale. So I was like, okay, this is working for service businesses as well. But yeah, it wasn't until, you know, later on that I just decided to experiment with Facebook ads for my business as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, And eventually, when you started with those first few clients, were you thinking about working on a retainer or on a project basis for them? Because I see two different approaches that are dominating usually. I'm curious which one you chose.
So I think, I just went with the retainer because it's something that was, for me, just easy to kind of put together. And, based on the services that I provided, I think retainer also made more sense to my clients or to my prospects, because what they wanted to have a Facebook content or Twitter content or Pinterest content on an ongoing basis. So, the first offering was the retainer service, and I don't even think I did like per project. I haven't done a per project project or whatever. Right. I just had a retainer service, and that was it. And later, actually, in a couple of years, I was reading a blog post that said, if you sell services, a retainer contract is the best way to go. That is gold. If you can get a client, if you can convince a client to sign you up for a retainer contract, that's awesome. And I started at that. I didn't even think how valuable that can be.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned content, that actually that you're doing a lot of stuff with content. I've been following you for a while now, and I know you have a couple of courses as well. How did you came to the realization that content actually is a good driver? Actually, is it a good driver to earn new clients?
I think it was, I just had to do a lot of reading because, again, I didn't even know how to run a business. I jumped head first in there. After reading a lot of blog posts about, how you should create a lot of content to kind of drive your business, not just free content, but also like paid content and having some products with really valuable content and sell those products like ebooks and cheat sheets. After reading, a couple of blog posts on that topic, I just decided I want to go all in. And I mean, I was always writing blog posts really regularly, especially when I started. But it was after a couple of years that I saw people started selling ebooks on a regular basis. There were just a bunch, every person that was offering a service, they had an ebook. And I decided, you know what? I want to see, if I can sell a couple of ebooks myself. And when I did that, the response was amazing. I think in the first month I earned my first 1K with that ebook, and it was just amazing. And from then on, I basically decided that I want to, as time goes by and as I move forward, I want to kind of switch from client work and from hands-on work to actually teaching people how to do this themselves. And I started with an ebook, and now I'm actually working on a full, full-blown course. So video course on Facebook ads. And I think, again, it paid off immensely. It's something that I would definitely regret not doing. And I'm so grateful for those couple of blog posts that I read back then that kind of taught me the value of creating that kind of content and putting it out there.
And how did you go about promoting it? Did you market it, let's say, Facebook ads, or did you have an already established audience that you can kind of hit through email?
So at the beginning, when I was writing those blog posts, I used those blog posts to grow my audience. And then when it came down to actually launching my ebook, at first I launched it solely to my email list. And back then, I think it was about 1,000 people on my email list. And it was a really successful launch. And that's when I decided to actually use Facebook ads a little bit to just see if I can sell ebooks from Facebook ads as well. And I could. So it was kind of a combination. At first, I definitely rely on my email list because my email list is just the most qualified out there, the most qualified list of audiences. But then on the other hand, I definitely experimented with Facebook ads because I just wanted to see how far I could take it. And it went really far. So now the course, I actually did a couple of months ago, I did more like a pre-launch because I didn't have any lessons recorded. I started from scratch. And I did a pre-launch only to my email list just to validate if the idea is good enough for people to purchase. And the pre-launch was incredibly successful and people actually purchased. And I let them know, like, I don't have any lessons recorded, but you're getting a discounted price that will never happen again. But I just need to validate this idea. And they actually purchased. And now I haven't advertised, I haven't used Facebook ads because, you know, that was just a pre-launch for my email list. But now I'm actually getting to, you know, having all the videos recorded, and I'm definitely going to use Facebook ads to kind of push the content out there and to promote my video course with Facebook ads as well.
How did you go about building the email list?
Yeah, that was kind of hard, and it still kind of is. So first of all, just content. Providing people with good quality content. I started writing a lot about social media. And, you know, my goal was always to give tactical advice. So not just the theory, but, you know, step by step, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. And that was always my goal. And it really helped me grow my email list. That was kind of the first thing. And the second thing that I really love doing were lead magnets. So I have a lot of cheat sheets. I had an Instagram hashtag cheat sheet. You know, people didn't really know that you can grow your audience by using Instagram hashtags back then. And I created a cheat sheet and got just a massive amount of leads from that cheat sheet. And the one thing that I really love as well is doing webinars. So I do webinars. Well, I need to kind of start doing them again. But a couple of months ago when I wasn't so occupied with my course, I used to do webinars on a pretty much monthly basis. I just love sharing content and value with my audience. So I use that to grow my audience as well. So not only my email list actually comes to the webinar, but I promote it on Twitter, I promote it on Facebook, and people come to the webinar and I grow my email list. And that email list is highly qualified as well. And that's how people kind of find me too.
Right. And this webinar is free or it's behind a paywall?
It's like all of the webinars that I previously did were free. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like if you are a service provider and if you have knowledge that you can share with other people and teach other people how to do this stuff, definitely do it. I really enjoy doing it. And every time I get an email back saying, hey, you helped me a lot. And, you know, I took your advice and I was able to 10X my business with your Facebook ads advice. Thank God. I'm so happy to hear that.
How do you go about, like, technically, how do you host the webinar? How do you let people know that the webinar will be at that time? Do you save the recording after that? Like, how do you?
Yeah. So I this is something that, again, I struggled with at the beginning because I didn't know how to do it. I attended a couple of webinars definitely before I started my own webinar. I always hated something with it. First of all, I just hated GoToWebinar, for example. It was just a software that I hated downloading and I hated using. So that's kind of, it gave me like, I already had a decision. I'm not going to use GoToWebinar. So I searched for other services or software companies, and Crowdcast is like the online webinar tool. You don't need to download anything. People that are watching the webinar don't need to download anything. It's browser, it's hosted through a browser, and that's how I started. So I use Crowdcast also because it saves your recording, and that recording is always available on that link. So people that join the webinar through a specific link, they can always use the same link and they'll get the recording. And that's basically, you know, technically how I set everything. And I first promoted to my email list. I always promote it to my email list. They're happy to attend my webinars. And then, like I said, I promote it on different channels as well. People share that webinar. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right. And on this email list that you have, how do you keep it current? Because that's something we've been thinking about as well. I've seen it from several people that I'm subscribed to, for example, who constantly send reminders to like clean up their list and to remove inactive users. What's your strategy about that?
Oh, gosh. I was actually reading an article about that today. So I did a cleanup a couple of years ago, and it was a massive cleanup as well. I think I got rid of like 1,000 subscribers, and that, like, it was a 3,000 like people on my email list. So that was, you know, I got rid of a third of people, but like in terms of the results, it didn't actually improve. That said, I do not know if it was due to the email marketing tool that I was using. So I was really unhappy with Drip because the deliverability wasn't good. So I'm not sure if, you know, that had something to do with my bad results as well. But now I was just reading a blog post today and I haven't read it till the end. I saved it on my reading list because I was reading again on just, you know, cleaning up your email list and how that improves your deliverability again and the engagement rate. I think like in theory, it definitely, like I would love to test it out again, to be honest, because I haven't done a cleanup in a really, really long time. But I think in theory it's definitely a good idea because it doesn't make any sense that you send out emails to people that are just not opening your emails and that haven't opened your email in a year. It doesn't make any sense to kind of keep them on. So I was reading an email thread also by Alex and Amy from 30 by 500. And I think they wrote that they're doing a cleanup as well. But instead of just deleting those people that have been inactive, they created a re-engagement campaign specifically for those people. And they're going to send out like a series of, I think it's like 5 emails that are incredibly highly valuable. And if people don't open a single email, they'll delete them. Yeah. So I think that is even a better idea. So don't just go straight to deleting inactive people on your email list, but create some sort of a re-engagement campaign. And if they don't click on any of those emails, you know, you're fine with just deleting them.
Okay. So to move on to, I guess, more platforms, we discussed email quite a lot. We talked about Facebook ads. How do you see the current landscape? What platforms are you focusing on? Where are you spending time? Where do you see any upcoming shifts, let's say, in attention or platform-wise?
So what I'm doing at the moment is I'm trying to engage a lot, first of all, in my Facebook groups. So I have a free, and I just started them a couple of months ago. I have a free Facebook group where we talk about Facebook ads, and I try to upload updates in there at least like a couple of times a week. And then I have my paid well, actually, it's a part of the paid course. So if people purchase my course, they get into my, you know, my Facebook group. That's, you know, the VIP Facebook group. And we have actually 2 times a month, we have like Q&A sessions where I come online, we do a Facebook Live and they can ask me questions that are specific for their business. And I answer those questions there live. And I think that's one platform that we should really, like, if you're a service provider, definitely just keep your eyes peeled because what you can also do is, and I do that often, I just kind of embed myself in other Facebook groups. And I don't necessarily promote myself, but I just help people. So if they are struggling with something Facebook ads related, I can give them feedback based on my experience. And if they are interested enough, like if they are really interested in who I am, what do I do, how do I have that kind of knowledge, they'll definitely look me up. But I never go in and just share the links to my blog posts. That's not a strategy that I use. So I think Facebook groups definitely. And then what I'm experimenting with right now is kind of creating a cohesive experience across all platforms. I started using Instagram again, Instagram stories in particular, Twitter, love it. And then Facebook and Facebook groups. So what I try to do is I have a list of content. I created like an extensive Google sheet where I have a list of content that's actually, I think like I have some just tags like personality where I kind of communicate my personality. Then I have Facebook ads where I talk about Facebook ads, like business-wise related. So not necessarily about Facebook ads, but just, you know, how to build a business. And I have that kind of content and I share it across all platforms in different formats. So on Twitter, I create a Twitter thread. Facebook, sometimes I upload a video on that specific topic. And I'm experimenting with creating a cohesive experience across platforms and seeing how that works for my business. So far, the results have been amazing because I'm just getting a lot of leads my way, and people are just emailing me, "Hey, I see you all the time, everywhere. I had to contact you. What services do you offer? How can we work together?" So I think that is also something people should definitely just, you know, take a look at and see if they can kind of create the same as well.
And how do you think about frequency? So you say you create a lot of content on those platforms. How do you approach it? Because is it just you working for the agency?
It's just me. So previously I had an expert working with me. So I wasn't doing any hands-on work with my clients. But then I decided a couple of months ago to fire all my clients and to do the course. And I fired all my clients. I kept just one, and I fired the person that was working with me as well. And now I'm working with clients again, but I'm doing, you know, my own thing. I'm working solo because I'm not necessarily doing a lot of hands-on work, but mostly focusing on consulting. But yeah, it takes a lot of time to work on my business as well, besides doing, you know, my clients' tasks and completing those tasks. So every Friday I have... I pretty much like take the majority of the day off, definitely off from client work, and I work on my own content. So every Friday, I just prepare the posts that I'm going to publish on my social media in advance. And I design something if it needs to be designed. I take some photos. I maybe do some videos, and I just schedule everything in advance if possible. If not, I have a time block scheduled every day that I go online and, you know, post a Twitter update, post a Facebook update, post an Instagram update. And that has been working really well for me. When it comes to frequency, I think it depends based on the actual platform that you're working on or the platform that you're publishing on. Twitter, I mean, you can be as frequent as you want. It's something that, I mean, it's always updating. People are always looking for new updates from specific people. So, I mean, up to 10 tweets a day, even more, you can definitely do that. When it comes to Facebook, I kind of keep it like one update per day, sometimes two. It depends on, you know, how much content I have, and Facebook groups as well. And then Instagram, it's like, one time a week, an Instagram post will pop up on my feed. But, you know, the Instagram story I do every day. So, yeah, it depends based on, I think, the amount of content that you have. And on the other hand, the platform that you're working on.
And on Instagram, do you, on stories in particular, do you focus on like personal life, like showing more of your life, or is it more business related?
I think it has become a combination of both, because my business is so tied to my personal life. So I have days where I talk about, like, you know, I'm doing this for my clients at the moment, or I'm preparing a workshop and I talk a little bit about that. But then on the other hand, I also post, you know, hey, I'm going to the gym, or hey, I'm driving my car, or talk about personal stuff. So I think it has become a combination of both, but not because that was a strategy that I used, but mostly because it's just so intertwined. My personal life and my business life is just kind of connected together. And, you know, I'm a reflection of my business and the other way around as well. And it's just become, I think it's a beautiful combination because people can see, you know, both sides of that world.
Yeah, and it's more authentic as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes it much easier to relate to the person.
Yeah.
Something very interesting, and I think I've read it like a while ago. You fire your clients before you start with the course.
Yeah.
Talk about this.
So I was thinking of doing this video course for such a long time. It was a couple of years. Like anytime someone would ask me, hey, what's next on your plate? What do you want to do next? I was always, I want to do a video course. And then it just became boring, and I was annoying to myself because I was talking about that course for years and I never did anything about it. And I actually last year, at the end of 2017, I got a little bit burnt out. I was just working with 10 clients at the same time. I was trying to work on my business, and I took some time off and I went like on a vacation completely off technology. I didn't use my phone. I didn't use my computer, but I basically gave myself a little bit of time to breathe and my mind to breathe. And when I came home, I had this clear picture of what I want to do. And I said, I want to do a course. I'm never going to do a course if I keep all of my clients because I'm always postponing the course and the coursework. So the solution is just fire all my clients. And I actually went through with that. And it was one day that I sat down and basically wrote emails to all of my clients, scheduled calls with all of my clients, explained what's happening. And all of them were incredibly understanding. They, like, one of them said, and, you know, I just appreciated that as well. They said, we always knew that you were destined for something a lot bigger than just client work. So this was just a matter of time. We expected it. And we couldn't be more excited for you and we're rooting for you. And that kind of gave me some sort of a confirmation that I'm definitely on the right path. Like I said, I kept only one client just to keep that income so I can, you know, cover the business expenses and that I could invest that money back into like advertising and marketing. And just, I don't know, paying people to do a voiceover for my video or something like that. So I kept that one client, but every other client I just fired and focused on my course. And it was I don't advise it to anyone. Like, I'm not saying go and do that because, you know, that could be on one hand, a really, really, bad advice. But for me, it definitely worked because it gave me that free time that I could spend on developing my course and creating the lessons and recording the lessons and so on.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a very important point. People, when they're working for themselves, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur like yourself, could be a trap actually to go and try to do more and push yourself more. There's so much blog posts and content out there that says that you're not working hard enough. You should be working hard enough. You should go higher and all that. But you should also listen to yourself. I think what you did was you came to the realization yourself, which is amazing. Were there some resources that helped you to find this clarity, to take this break and to shift this direction in your career?
To be honest, I didn't even read any resources. I just came to that point where this was the only option. Like, I couldn't do anything. When I was burnt out, like, my head hurt all the time. I couldn't think, I couldn't sleep. And the only solution out there was take a break. Everyone was talking about it. I talked to a couple of people. So just, I have this group of online friends, of online entrepreneurs. We're all kind of in the same boat. And when I talked to them, they all said, girl, you gotta take a break. And I did. And I went on a vacation. And I think that clarity just came by itself because I let all of my clients know what's happening. That's something that I always do. So I'm completely honest with my clients. And I told them, hey, I've been burnt out for the past couple of months and I really need to take a vacation. I'm taking a 1 week off. I will not be available. I had an assistant back then. So the person that works for me, and I said, you know, here's her number if anything pops up. And I literally took a week off. And it was just so good. The good thing was I didn't need to read anything about, you know, how to get that clarity, but it just came by itself. And I think that's what happens when you really take a break from work. And I'm not saying I'm going to take a break and I'm going to keep my phone and read an email here and there. No, like, you really need to take a break completely for a week. So if you think that you don't know exactly what to do next, your mind feels a little bit foggy, you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to decide, you don't know in which direction to go. Like, the best cure for that is to take a break. Yeah.
And are you you're in the middle of producing that course? Did you start on it?
Yes. So I'm actually finishing it as we speak. So it should be like, my original plan was for the course to be finished by December 2018. But then I had, just a personal tragedy that happened. And that actually kind of disabled me from doing any kind of coursework for 2 months, and it kind of postponed. So now it's February, we're coming to a close, and I have just a couple of lessons to record, and then I will open up the doors to my course again and start actually working on the funnel, how to get people signed up for my email list, and then maybe have an email course or something that I lead people through, and then at the end they could purchase my course. And that's kind of the next thing that I'm going to do after this course. But yeah, I think we have just a couple of videos left to record, and that's about it.
And how did you decide on what topics to cover and how long the course should be?
Oh, that was, again, because I didn't know where to begin. And I read a ton of resources because I didn't know how long can the course be? How long should the lessons be? How to price the course? And I read a ton of resources and it was all conflicting information. And I didn't even know where to begin. So then I decided, you know what? I'm going to kind of switch the workflow a little bit. And I'm first going to write down all the things I want to teach people. So I sat down one day and I took a day off and I just wrote bullet points. You know, this is what I wanted to teach people, how to create lookalike audiences, what lookalike audiences are. And I went in great detail and then I bundled a couple of those bullet points together. And if it was the same topic, that actually became a module and a lesson. So I kind of grouped it all together. And only after I had that schedule and that list of lessons and modules, that's when I started to think about the actual price. So I wasn't necessarily thinking about the length of the course, but I was just thinking about, you know, how much would I pay for this? If I didn't have a clue how to launch a successful Facebook advertising campaign, how much would I be willing to spend for this? Like, what's the top price that I can offer for this, that people still get the value out of it? And that's how I kind of set my price. And as far as the time, like the length of the course, I thought it was going to be 6 hours when I calculated, and I thought, okay, this lesson is going to be 5 minutes and that lesson is going to be 10 minutes. Like, I'm not even finished yet. And I think we're at 7 hours of content. That kind of came afterwards. And I wasn't really planning on it. It just kind of happened naturally. So yeah.
You touched a little bit about it. You're going to start now on the funnel for the course. So what are the plans for the next 6 months to a year with the course, but also with your career and direction as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, now that the course is going to be finished, what I really need to work on or start working again on is my email list. So I have been, to be completely honest, I have been neglecting my email list a little bit. I haven't been really sending regular updates. Like, there are, let's say it's an update every month or 2 updates per month. But like previously I was very regular with everything, but now not so much because I'm focusing on other things. So as soon as the course is launched, I'm working on my email list growth. I already have a free email course about Facebook ads. I want to redevelop it. I want to refresh it and then just develop a sales funnel for my course. So I want to kind of really dial into that a little bit more, put out more content, communicate with my email list a lot more, and kind of grow it from there. So pretty much scaling everything that I'm doing email list and content wise.
Right, right. Where can people go to find out more about the course, about you, follow you online, just to get in touch with you and all the information that you're providing, all the value that you're providing out there?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I would love if anyone would reach out to me over email. So if anyone has any specific questions that they want to ask me, or if they are burnt out or anything else, you can always find me at moinsa@superspicymedia.com. I'm happy. Like, I really respond to every email I do. Sometimes it takes me a couple of days, but I do respond to every single email that I get. I'm also available on superspicymedia.com. You can read more about me there. I have a couple of blog posts on there as well, not going out really regularly, but still there are a couple of there. And then on Twitter, I'm at Moitza Mars. I am very regular on Twitter. So if anyone wants to follow me, that's that's a good resource too. And then regarding my course, like I said, the enrollment is closed at the moment, but if anyone wants to jump on the email list, you know, the waiting list is there and it can be found on thescienceoffacebookads.com. That's the landing page that I have for my course. And like I said, if you're interested in it, you can, you know, apply yourself to an email list and you'll be first to get notified when the enrollment opens up again.
And it's a very nice domain as well.
I'm sorry?
It's a very nice domain as well for the course.
Oh, yeah. Again, it came down to, this is my life story. Like anytime I'm trying to figure out like, what should the name of my project be? Like the first question that I ask, is the domain available?
Yeah. I'm surprised that it's available, really. It's a really incredible.
That was my surprise as well. I was searching for different domains and like I had a list of like 20 names that I could use. And the Science of Facebook Ads was like on like the top one. And I was like, okay, this domain definitely needs to be taken. This like it's no way that this is available. And I just went online, like thescienceoffacebookads.com. Bam, it was available. So I just bought it instantly.
That's a very nice story. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more from you online as well, to follow all your new stuff that you're going to publish. Moitza, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Hey, before you leave, just a quick message from me, Marine here, the co-founder of Doula. First of all, it would really help us if you spread the word about this podcast, share it with other people who might find this useful. There was a ton of useful advice that Moitza shared about learning Facebook ads and email marketing. I think most people can benefit from that, especially if you're starting a small business or an agency of your own as well. Now, another way to support us could be to go and check out our dress shirts. Doulo is the performance shirt. It's effortless style and delightful comfort in a dress shirt that you've never met before. And it's the most comfortable dress shirt. If you don't trust us, check out the reviews on the webpage. Take a look. If you get one, that would really help us to keep doing more of these episodes. Other than that, make sure you follow us on social as well, at @WearDoulo. And until next time, have a nice day, week, night, month. Bye-bye.